This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyid al-Anam, Sayyiduna Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Ya Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. Today, alhamdulillah, as you guys see, we have a very special guest, my beloved Sheikh Mufti Muntasir Zaman. And Mufti Muntasir does not really need an introduction, Sheikh. You're from this community, man. Come on. Just highly recommend everybody to check his papers on Yaqeen Institute about hadith. And he's focused on hadith, mashallah. Very beneficial papers. He's also a qalam teacher, mashallah. Has his Islamic studies degree from South Africa, mashallah. Cape Town, Sheikh? Or it was from Cape Town? Johannesburg, mashallah. Fun fact about Mufti Muntasir, he loves soccer, but he doesn't believe he's good at it. I don't know why. So I play with him on Wednesdays, mashallah, along with the Qalam crowd. Mufti Kamal is very tough at soccer. You know, I didn't believe that at first. Then when I first played against him, it was a big deal. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're really excited to have you, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair for coming. We're starting, inshallah ta'ala, continue to work to discuss Surah Al-Fatiha. We started with the Quranic du'as. We spoke about 11 Quranic du'as. There are about 50 du'as in the Quran. We covered about 11, and that's the 12th du'a of the Quran. And this time, this du'a is mentioned in the first chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path. Just an introduction about Surah Al-Fatiha. Why Surah Al-Fatiha is very important out of the entire Quran is because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in Surah Al-Fatiha is introducing himself, talking about his names, describing himself. He starts off Surah Al-Fatiha by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to me. And I am the owner of this world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I want you to know that I am the most merciful, the most compassionate. Malik Yawm al-Din. Again, talking about his authority. And then follows it with describing his infinite mercy, subhanAllah. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Now since I am the owner of the world, and I am the most merciful, and I am the most compassionate, you get to now rely on me. Iyaka na'budu. You get to worship me first, and then nasta'in. Now you're going to rely on me. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. After this, right after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, guide us to the straight path. Here, when Mufti Muntasir gets in the conversation to educate us about this ayah, inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wa al-Mursaleen wa ba'd. First and foremost, Allah reward everyone for this gracious welcome and invitation. I want to begin with an analogy. Imagine you hear a knock on your door, you open the door, you see someone you haven't met in a very long time, and before talking about anything of substance, he begins to say, you know, you're just such an amazing person. He begins to say, you know, you're such a generous person. And then the conversation's filled with pleasantries and flattery. At some point, you're going to realize this person has an ulterior motive. He's not coming to you to say, oh, here's a nice gift. I've been just praising you so I can give you something. He's going to praise you. Oh, your house looks really nice. That car you have parked out looks very nice. I heard you got a raise in your job. You know, he begins the pleasantries. But ultimately, there's an ulterior motive. He wants to get at a particular objective. And what would that objective be? He'd come to you and say, you know, I'm going through very tough times. Do you mind helping the brother out? Do you mind, you know, giving me a loan? I wouldn't mind some assistance. That's kind of how the conversation usually happens.
Yes, keep going, sir. Sorry for that.
No problem. So this friend of yours, you kind of realize quickly that he's not really a friend, he's more of a freeloader. But once he cuts to the chase, he'll say, oh, do you mind, you know, I just need some money, I need some help. And as much as we would loathe such an individual, in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is highly praiseworthy. And if anything bears testimony to this, it is Surah Al-Fatiha. Because when we summarize Surah Al-Fatiha, it is immediately our first point of entry in conversing with Allah in our salah. It's as though we're knocking the door, we open the door, and we're like, you know, you're such an amazing person, by the way. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm Ad-Din. Not only are you the best in this life, you're the best in the afterlife as well. And to put the cherry on the top, Iyyaka Na'budu Wa Iyyaka Nasta'een. You know, when your friend is like, man, I can't go to anybody besides you. You know, those friends we had in the past, they're all fakes. They left us. It's just me and you, you know? We're best friends, we're buddies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the very same and very similar tone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. There's no one we worship apart from you. And honestly, Ya Allah, there's no one I can seek help apart from you. Now, having set the stage, having set the tone, what is at the heart of this entire surah? What is that ulterior motive? What is it that we seek? Allah introduces it with the following words, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. If you really think about Surah Al-Fatiha, honestly speaking, this verse is the most essential verse in the surah, not only because it is at the center of the surah, because everything before it is a lead up to this, and everything after it is a clarification of the dua. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is saying, Ya Allah, I'm about to ask for something. Now what is that? إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You make the supplication which we're going to get to, and every verse after that is further clarification of what it is that I need. So when we think about Surah Al-Fatiha, no one would blame you to think that إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ in essence is the crux of this surah. Now, what is إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? A quick translation will help. And as we know, English can't do justice to the fluency and beauty of Arabic. But a rough translation would be, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Allah, guide us to the straight path. And the reason I say that's a rough translation is the mufassirun and commentators, they dissect every single word and its derivatives to a point that you'll be amazed at the subtleties of every word, rather every harakah. How so? Let's begin with the first word, ihdina. Hidayah, guidance, is something we somewhat take for granted. What is guidance? In Arabic, a simple way of understanding guidance is to guide someone. You come to the masjid and someone is saying, okay, where is the main musalla? You'll say, okay, you go straight, take a right, you go, and you'll see the musalla over there. That's guiding someone. In Arabic, there are multiple verbs that can be used to denote guidance. One verb is dalla yadullu, dal, which means to direct someone. But hidayah means to direct someone with a subtle difference. And what is that difference? As the author of At-Tafsir al-Kabir al-Razi explains, the subtle difference is, hidayah is ad-dalalah bitalattufin. It is not only to guide and direct someone, it is to direct someone with gentleness and understanding and compassion. So we're not saying, Ya Allah, guide us. We're saying, Ya Allah, with your gentleness, with your mercy, your clemency, your understanding, show us the path. Ihdina, guide us.
The second subtlety in this dua is اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In English, we translate this as Allah, guide us then to the straight path. But if you look at the original Arabic, it's quite fascinating. The conjunction or the harf or the sila ila means to. So to give a common example in conventional Arabic, if I would say to you, I went to the store, I would say, ذهبت إلى السوق. ذهبت, I went. إلى, which is the صلة, it's the conjunction, to, السوق, to the marketplace. And if you're following a very similar analogy here, you would say, إهدنا إلى الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path. But instead, a more accurate translation would be, guide us the straight path. Now, why that difference? Why is it that ila is missing here, to the straight path is missing here? And the explanation for that is urgency and immediacy. And to give a very simple example, if somebody is suffering from a stroke in the masjid, you'll immediately call 911. You're not gonna start the conversation by saying, hey, how are you doing? How's the weather over there? What did you have for breakfast? Oh, by the way, you don't dilly-dally, you don't delay. You get straight to the point. There's an emergency. We need an ambulance here right away. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is telling us, Ya Allah, guide us the straight path. I have no time to dilly-dally. I have no time for any further explanation. Ya Allah, what I need, no delaying, is your guidance, the straight path. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now, الصراط المستقيم translates as the straight path. المستقيم. We may have heard of this term before, استقامة. Have you heard of the term استقامة? Steadfastness. It's very similar. They are from a very similar family. استقامة يستقيم استقامة. مستقيم is derived from that. So when you're saying الصراط المستقيم, we translate it as the straight path, but as the commentators and mufassirun explain, there's a dual meaning embedded in this. The first is مستقيم, which means a straight line. And as we know, the shortest distance from A to B is a straight line. But another nuance here is, we want guidance to the straight path, but a path that entails consistency and steadfastness. We don't want direction to a path that I'll get onto that path, and after some time my energy will wither away, I will become weak, and eventually I'll leave that path. الصراط المستقيم. I can go on and on and on about the subtle details in this one dua that we can appreciate when we look deeper into the linguistic origins. But we don't want to go and waste too much time. But to get to the meat and potatoes, to get into the essence of this dua, we ask Allah for hidayah, and we ask Allah not for any ordinary hidayah or any ordinary guidance, we ask for guidance to the straight path. And a number of questions arise here. What is the straight path? What is the path of steadfastness? What is hidayah? You know, one of the beautiful qualities of the Quran is that it doesn't follow a linear narrative. Go to a bookstore today, pick up a novel. It'll start off by prelude, chapter 1, chapter 2, conclusion. It's very linear. The Quran, on the other hand, doesn't follow that logic. It's Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah. You'll read about the Munafiqun. You'll read about Musa alayhi salam. You'll read about Adam alayhi salam. And then there's going to be a transition. There's going to be a tangent. Then Allah will talk again about Musa alayhi salam. And for some modern readers, this can be confounding. It can be very complex. But the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to appreciate the Quran as one unit, not as separable parts. Not as, I read Surah Al-Fatiha independently from the rest of the Quran, and I somehow will get the full picture. It is just one pixel, part of a broader picture. And اهدنا الصراط المستقيم is a perfect example to explain this. Allah says, اهدنا, guide us. The question is, where is that guidance? And what is that guidance? Subhanallah, what's the surah right after Surah Al-Fatiha? Surah Al-Baqarah. And how does Surah Al-Baqarah begin? Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى هدى للمتقين. So the question that immediately arises is, what is this hidayah? Who is this hidayah for? How can I benefit from it? Allah is saying, be patient. You're going to see it right in the next few lines. هدى للمتقين. This entire Quran is the guidance that you seek. So I want guidance. It's in the form of the Quran. But if I want to get it, I want to see a path. What is that path? We say we want the straight path. الصراط المستقيم. What is that? Allah says, صراط المستقيم الذين أنعمت عليهم. Those people upon whom you have showed your blessings. Who are they? Does Allah mention it in that same surah? No. If you look at Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those people upon whom you have bestowed your favors. And that is a claim, bestowed your favors. But who are they? You don't get that answer in Surah Al-Fatiha. You get that answer later on. In the sixth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about those people who have received Allah's favors, and He answers that question. And He says, من الصديقين والشهداء والصالحين من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. The path of the Anbiya, the path of the righteous, the martyrs, the path of the truthful. So again, we see here again how the Quran is an inseparable unit, connected each verse to another, connected each surah to another. I'm going to say one last thing, and I'm going to conclude. I know it's getting late. I don't want to take much of everyone's time. And that is this dua of اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us the straight path. And again, after this explanation, you can already see the holes in that translation. Guide us to the straight path doesn't do justice to اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, what we spent the last 20 minutes trying to describe and we're still not done with. But the last thing I want to conclude with is, we ask Allah for guidance. But the question that Fakhruddin al-Razi raises is, when do you generally make this dua? It's not like I'm walking around and just reciting Surah Al-Fatiha because I enjoy it. If you do that, that's great, mashallah. But for the most of us, we recite it in our prayers. So imagine, it's a busy Saturday night. You have 101 random invitations. But you decide to put all of that to the side, you make wudu, you get into your car, you drive to the masjid, you come, you stand in the first saf, you pray your sunnah, and you do everything, and you start your salah, and then you start with Surah Al-Fatiha. You've done all of this for the last half an hour, and then you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, guide us to the straight path. Isn't that somewhat of a counterintuitive sentence? Isn't that a bit contradictory? That you've done everything ostensibly that a person on the straight path would do. You left your worldly commitments, you made wudu, you came to the masjid, you're praying salah in the masjid, perhaps in congregation. Every sign is saying you are on the path, and now you're saying, Ya Allah, guide me to the path. But aren't you already on the path? And not to bore you with the details, there's 10 different ways that they explain this, but the one most, at least in my opinion, the best explanation is, as a Muslim, we are constantly in a state of caution. We never get complacent and feel that I'm on the straight path, I will never leave the straight path. Because as-sirat al-mustaqim is the consistent straight path, something that has steadfastness. So I'm going to be on that path that I will never deter from. اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It's very similar to another verse. As I mentioned, the Qur'an is connected like one unit. In another verse, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. Oh, you who believe, believe. The scholars, they call this tahsil al-hasil, doing something that you already have. But the idea is to be steadfast. There's a much more that can be said, inshallah. I'll pass over the mic to Sheikh Yusuf to enlighten us with more, inshallah. Me keeping it means I'm going to continue talking, or am I done? Oh, please not. I think even the mic is tired of it.
Jazakallah khair. We really enjoyed this, Mufti Muntasir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in your scale and make us among those who listen to the speech so they follow the best of it. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. I don't think we can do justice to Surah Al-Fatiha in 25 minutes. I think we definitely need more. So we'd love, that means that we'd love to see you again, inshallah. Come and educate us about the, you know, gems from Surah Al-Fatiha. I would love to do that, inshallah ta'ala. With that being said, you know, typically Sheikh Mufti Muntasir, we have a question towards the end. These are two, you know, black seed honey. And we ask, you know, a question, and whoever gets the right answer gets the honey. And this other honey is just an ikram from VRICTU, inshallah. And this one is for whoever gets the right answer of a question that you will ask this time. I usually ask this. They're tired of me, Sheikh. So now, inshallah, you're the one who's gonna think of a question, but you know, make it easy on them, inshallah. A question for the brothers about the same dua, inshallah. Ihdina as-siratal mustaqim or Surah Al-Fatiha in general.
A question that they were educated about, or something that I'm supposed to assume that they know?
Either or.
Very educated community.
They are, mashallah, mashallah.
Very educated community, but
yeah. Either or. You pick, inshallah.
Okay. I'll make it easy for them.
Yes, please.
Because I want to have a, you know, cheers with whoever.
Inshallah.
A toast. But I think the question very simple is, this is very simple. But
yes.
I'll ask it anyway. Related to Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, given that, okay, I'm not going to make it too simple. You know, make it a bit difficult.
Okay, I want somebody to solve this for me. In the Quran, related to Hidayah, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. That, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, you do not have the power, authority to guide whomsoever you will. Rather, Allah guides whomsoever He wills. So on the one hand, you have a verse saying, we have no capacity to guide people. We are not hadi. We don't give guidance, Allah gives guidance. But then we turn to the hadith, and in one particular hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam addresses one of the sahaba, and he makes a beautiful dua as that sahabi is going to a new community. And he says, Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyan mahdiya. Ya Allah, make this person someone who gives hidayah. So the question for a apparently very expensive cup of honey, black seed honey, tea, something, is how do we make sense of this? On the one hand, where in no unequivocal terms, we're taught that hidayah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua that this person be someone who does and gives hidayah. Oh, mashallah. So what happens when there's multiple people who raise their hands?
I'm in trouble.
Could we have like a hierarchy, like a semifinals and then another? No? Doesn't work like that? Okay, I can't ask you a question. That's not fair. All right, yes. Yeah. That's very good, very close enough to take half of the cup. Inshallah, I'll ask the other brother to answer so that I can give him the other half, inshallah. Yes. Very close. So I think we can divide the cup in half, inshallah. Just a quick summary of the answer. Oh, okay, we'll make it into 33. Okay, yes. Subhanallah. Yeah. 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 So basically, hidayah has a lexical meaning and it has a technical meaning. So hidayah on one level means الدلالة إلى المطلوب, and a second meaning is الإيصال إلى المطلوب. So hidayah in one sense can mean to direct someone to something. As the example you gave, take someone to the water. But إيصال إلى المطلوب, making that objective realize, materialize, come into existence, that's solely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm not sure how you're going to divide it. I'll leave that to the community, inshallah.
Yeah, look, I think the last part of this dua for our beautiful youth, and that is every time we memorize a dua, we study a dua, they should memorize it. So the dua of last time, who guys remembers the dua of last time? Who wants to say it? Who still remember? Oh, that's true. The dua of Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam. That's true. What was the dua of Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam? Oh, the adults are very excited. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. That's true. So inshallah, as we usually do, we're going to go over the 12 du'as bi'idhnillah. We're going to repeat it together. So bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're going to start by this du'a of today. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqeem. Can you say after me inshallah ta'ala? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqeem. Wa dhannuni idh-dhahaba mughadiban. فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق. The energy is very low, brothers and sisters. We need to get more energy. These are the du'as of the Quran. One more time. وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربي لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار جزاكم الله خيرا جزاك الله خير مفتي منتصر may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely and accept from you inshallah ta'ala and make us again among those who listen to the speech so they follow the best of it inshallah next Saturday the program definitely will be shorter inshallah ta'ala with a new Quranic dua جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته